Welcome back to the Space Case Sarah Show with my space nerds, Kavi and Benjamin. And we have a special guest, Mac Melkawi, who is the head of Blink Borderless Labs Incorporated. And he's been talking about the, well, literally, we just spent the last segment just talking about the spacesuit initiative that that was a part of one of your camps. I'm sorry. And then I need some updates, though. I had you on with me back in July. There was a tornado siren. It was a very entertaining and an exciting episode. What has happened since last July? Like, let us know. Like, what is going on?
We only talked about the space, one of 17 different projects that happened in Jordan, and that was just a spacesuit. The rover that was built by an amazing team over there built a Curiosity-sized one-to-one scale rover, not just as an RC car, but an actual scientific instrument that does weather and methane detection. Really, oh, methane detection. It was like, I didn't know that was a thing until I stepped away from it. But anyway, thank you. Someone laughed there. Thank you. No one gets that joke.
Kavi would. He's
I got you, Mac.
He's that like refined pinky level of nerd that.
Exactly.
he's a refined nerd.
I was telling you that I was going to do Artemis training before. Nice. So the International Institute of Astronautical Sciences, their professors are NASA scientists and engineers and former astronauts. And one of them, Dr. Jose, is running a class EVA 103 of lunar geology for Artemis, for current Artemis missions. And he was about to train all of these NASA astronauts, and he needed, you know, a class of guinea pigs to do that. So we all went to Arizona to the lava fields in Arizona, and we went to underground lava tubes, and we spent a week just learning geology as astronauts. And that blew me away, of course. And I had one of my scholarships from Bangladesh who covered the entire trip in Bengali and Hindi and Urdu. I covered it in, her name is Asma, by the way. And I covered it in Arabic. And David, one of my partners, covered it in Spanish. And we can't wait for all of this content to come out to people who've never seen that kind of content before. And then 2 weeks later, all of these astronauts are tweeting on their personal Twitter pages of look at all this amazing stuff they're learning about geology and how they're actually going to implement this on the moon. And I was just like, I just did that.
I was right there.
And that was amazing. So then we go to, from there in September, we went to Jordan. We had all this fantastic experience with all these presentations, and we had people from NASA and people from Blue Origin, Club for the Future, from actual space camp proper, USA, it's MIT, wonderful guests, but the main stars of the show were the actual students and young engineers, young professionals who made those, like I said, not costumes or RC cars, but actual life support systems and legit fully autonomous rovers. So that was, and we did underwater EVA training. And from there, we went to Egypt, and from there, we went to Paris to present all of this work at the IAC. We hosted Yuri's Night at the IAC in front of thousands of people, and that was marvelous. And then we came back to Groton, Connecticut, where we did three things. Sea survival for astronauts and with a retired shuttle safety, NASA shuttle. Astronaut trainer who basically taught us how to survive and escape a capsule, which was a mock-up of the Orion capsule just before it launched. So here I am in a spacesuit, pressurized, and had to escape the Orion capsule and rappel down into the water and wait to be rescued. And a week later, we did underwater EVA training with full-body dry suits as our and full face masks with comm systems. and filmed that in Arabic and Hindi and Urdu and Bengali and Spanish and English as well. And I got a lot of editing to do.
Sometimes I feel like I do too much, and now I just listen to you and I'm like, nope,
I'm not doing anything
yet. And we can't be an astronaut if you don't do G training, right? And centrifuge G training is nothing. So the best place to do G force training is in a fighter jet. So I figured, okay, I go to Bozeman, Montana, and do G force training in Jared Isaacman's fighter Alpha jet.
Yes, you were telling me about that the last time you were on. So you got to do it.
I did it. I survived 7.5 Gs for about 6 seconds. And his pilot, Gustafsson, Stroker Gustafsson, is one of those pilots who's just like, if you feel comfortable, the stick is yours. Just tell me if you need me. And it's like, okay. And I was doing barrel rolls and loops and aileron rolls. And we did the Top Gun experience in the canyons. And we were going up the mountain, going down inverted.
Wait, from the new movie. You did that move.
From the new movie. I did that move.
That had to be like 9-10 Gs?
No, it was 7.5.
Come on. Don't be ridiculous, Cobby.
You did it.
Nine. Oh, my man.
Come on. Jeez, please. He's not Tom Cruise. Come on.
Oh, you only did 7.5.
It was still tunnel. You do get the tunnel vision, by the way. We did get the tunnel vision. I didn't throw up.
Oh, wow.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And that's just, and that's nothing. That this is just a.
That's nothing. Yeah, you're right.
You know, compared to what the real astronauts do. I mean, our buddy Tim Dodd is going to the moon.
I know. Yeah, we've talked about the Dear Moon Project on here. We are stoked. We are pumped for that mission. Gosh, I'm kind of like at a loss for words right now because
like so many awesome.
Oh, Max got more.
So, well, when Sarah and I first met each other on these Zoom calls of just saying, hey, we like space. Space is great. you know, someday maybe we could watch a launch in person or something. And here we are, 2 years later.
Yeah.
Being involved with it and actually speaking to people and being involved in their projects. I think the last thing last time we spoke, it was like, yeah, because we were so inspired to actually make our future instead of waiting for someone to invite us into theirs. And that's when we're like, wow, it took me 40 years to figure that out.
Damn. Yeah. And Mac is he has been always a very special person for me in sort of the genesis of my personal life and my professional life. And so to have you on and talk like, it just,
stop
this
it.
Is what you're doing. This time, I'm sitting here and I'm like, well, I mean, I'm applying for a PhD, so like, you know, like, but you're like, yeah, I was with Jared Isaacman and I was doing 7.5 Gs and I'm just sitting here like,
no, but that's an experience. You are getting your PhD. That is fantastic.
I hope so.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I hope so. But you're so fantastic. You're green.
No. I make memes.
Oh.
So I was just trying to prove a point at first, you know, the evolution we were talking about. I was trying to prove that there are nerds out there. There is a market for my content. And yeah, there are nerds out there and they're everywhere and they love science and STEM and space. And they just don't have, you know, that kind of supply that, and I want them to be the creators of the future, not wait until someone else creates their content for them.
Yeah,
but that's that was the point I was making, and then it accidentally grew into I can find a way of making this self-sustainable.
Yeah, I love that. So I'm gonna turn the handles over to the guys really quick to let them shoot a question out or a thought or something like that to you really quick, and then I would love for you to then drop your your contact information, your website, all those things, so that people who are listening can follow what you're doing and support you in any shape or form that they are capable of doing so, even if it's just a like or a follow. So gentlemen, my space nerds, do you have any kind of closing thoughts for Mac or anything that you'd like to say?
I think what Mac's doing is absolutely inspirational. It absolutely is. I mean, I've been screaming into the SciComverse for forever, but he actually is finding people who never heard this type of stuff before. And that's the beautiful little golden nugget of it all. I think it's just fantastic. I don't really have anything to ask other than just share my admiration. Well done. Well done.
Mac is just a gem. He's just a gem.
Absolutely. I feel like every time we speak, every time I see any of your interviews or content that you're posting, I'm just like continually more and more impressed and inspired and humbled by you. I think the only question that I have would be, you know, what you were saying now about, you know, going to see rocket launches and going to see rockets and, like, you know, creating that content that I guess is kind of limited to people who are living in the US. I feel like the flip side, it's not just about bringing American space culture to the rest of the world, but I think there's also something to be gained. And I'm wondering if this is something that you've looked into or thought about, but making a part of it, you know, bringing the culture of space and the traditions and culture of, you know, Indian astronomy or the astronomy from, you know, the Arabic world, which is basically the foundation of astronomy, is mostly from the Middle East and the Mediterranean, right? At least as far as naming conventions go. So is that something that you're that you've thought about, like making that more available?
You know, those are the things. Someone asked me once, what are you expecting, or what do you enjoy most? And usually the answer is the unexpected, not what I planned on discovering, but what just happened to be discovered. And when you discover this amazing talent, when you discover not only the history of what you're talking about or the culture of what you're doing, but you're discovering people who, I mean, one of my very first scholarships, I was in a Syrian refugee camp, and we were, at the time, we weren't doing life support systems. It was still just costumes, just to inspire them to someday want to be an engineer. And here she is as an engineer now. But when I first met her, she was dying to talk to someone who gets it about pulsars and quasars and black holes and globular clusters. And I'm just staring at, we're in a tent here in the refugee camp. And I didn't even know what a globular cluster was.
Oh, those are my favorite.
And I'm like, how do you know this stuff? And she looks at me and she says, from the Google. You know? And I'm like, so those stories that you discover and you're like, oh my goodness, you're going to be something someday. So she needed that inspiration. She discovered us and discovered our, and we put a Falcon 9 model together, and she built a little satellite CubeSat model together. And then she said, oh my God, so I'm going to be an engineer someday. And here she is now, fourth year engineering student who's already been part of this past. We taught her how to swim, and we taught her how to scuba dive, and now she's doing underwater. So it's evolved not just from space science, but to STEM in general, because when she discovered scuba diving, in order to be an astronaut, you got to learn how to do underwater EVAs. And then she discovered a whole different world. You're breathing underwater. And you're seeing a universe just meters away from where you were that is not of this earth. My goodness.
Benjamin is the only one here not certified to dive, and I think that he needs to get that done. Absolutely. Come on, Benjamin. This is a continuous theme. It's happening over and over. Okay?
So many times.
Sarah, remember that first time we described that whole scuba diving experience, and then when you're down there, you're like, how is this not required, mandatory for everyone here on Earth?
It is such an incredible experience, and it's an amazing experience.
trust your peers and everything. So every one of our camp participants this year, all 42, got scuba certified, not just got a scuba experience certified, because, I mean, when you're teaching life support systems, 45 minutes worth of checklists that they have to go through. And we had an O-ring pop in the middle of, like, 20 meters down, too. And we just dealt with it. We dealt with it the way we were trained, and then someone took the spare regulator for the other person, and that's what you do. You train as you. So it was training underwater to train like what an app. If we're going to send millions of people to live and work in space, well, you got to train millions of people to not die.
Yeah, to operate under that pressure too. Yeah.
And underwater is the best way to do it. So that was a fantastic experience.
I love it. Mac, please drop your socials and your website so that people know how to follow the amazingness that is you.
That's where I need to up my social media game. Borderlesslabs.org. www before that, I think.
I think it's been around for a while. I don't know, but.
Borderlesslabs.org. And the socials, I am Mac Malkawi, MacMalkawi, on all social media. And I respond to all DMs and respond to everybody. Everybody's well.
Mac, thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, as always, you can follow the station iRock Space Radio. We are now available as a podcast on any platform you could ever possibly think of, ever. Like ones that I haven't even heard of. You can follow all of us on our socials. We say it every single week. We didn't this week, but I'm Space Case Sarah. We have Fun Fact Science with Kavi and Science Actually Science, depending on your platform, with Benjamin. And follow, but don't follow us. Go follow Mac. Go follow Mac.
I have to go polish my chrome, but okay.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and we are so thrilled to have Mac. Thank you again. And you have been listening to the Space Case Sarah Show with the space nerds Kavi and Benjamin here on iRock Space Radio.